Our first New Testament reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of our Lord. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And turning now to 1 Corinthians, our epistle lesson starts in chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And Paul says to the Corinthians, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, 'Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" And this is the word of God. Thank you.
I don't know how Debbie talks each Sunday with cough drops in her mouth. I'm kind of struggling with that, so forgive me. Of course, our reading in Matthew, the Beatitudes, was from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this Sermon on the Mount, if you read all of it all the way through, it probably takes you 20 minutes to read it. But surely, this was Jesus teaching there for over a period of days. And what we have is what Matthew and Luke recorded of his preaching at that time. And what we have is sufficient. What we have is enough. It's more than we can digest, more than we can handle. The first thing he said on the Sermon on the Mount was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the world doesn't really say that. The world really doesn't teach us, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble." The world teaches, "Blessed are the rich. Blessed are the bullies. Blessed are the cunning." I mean, we see people who push and shove and get forward, and they achieve very high places in this world. And they leave many behind in their wake. And the world cheers them on. The world worships them. The world treats them, the people who cast aside all their moral values to become stars, cast aside everything that God has called them to do to be successful. Now, there's nothing wrong with being successful. If you're successful through the power of the Lord, if you're successful walking in the way of the Lord, if you're successful keeping the word of the Lord. And the Lord does bring people to high places, even while keeping his word. In the Greek, blessed, the word makarios means favored by God. So when we say someone is blessed, we're saying they're favored by God. Could you think of a better blessing? Could you think of anything greater than that? Poor in spirit. What this is talking about is not somebody who is weak, somebody who is downtrodden, somebody who has no hope. But it is, we are blessed when we understand how our unworthiness, when we understand that we are sinful, when we understand that we are not worthy to stand before God except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Jesus is saying, blessed are those who have quit pretending to be what they are not, who will stand before God and say, "God, this is what I am. This is who I am. And if you'll take me, take me. I know I'm not worthy." That's the poor in spirit. And he goes on to say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this is a continuance of the blessed of poor in spirit. What this is saying is that While we like to, while we sing, "Come as you are," and we can come, and we can come as we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must recognize what we are and who we are. And we come to the Lord unhappy with who we are and what we are. We can't come to the Lord and say, "Father, I'm a sinner. That's who I am. That's it. That's what I am. Take me this way or don't take me at all." I think I know the answer you'll get. We come to the Lord and saying, "Father, I know I'm a sinner. I am so, so sorry. I am so sorry for who I am and what I am. Please take me and change me and wash me and clean me." And then we come to the one that causes a great bit of angst with a lot of us, because it goes against everything that we learn in the world. "Blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There's very few of us that are not raised with our parents telling us, "If you work hard enough, if you push hard enough, if you do enough, if you study enough, you can be who you can be." And this seems to go against that, but it does not. If we look at Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the earth. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land." So it doesn't say for you to not have ambition, not for you not to want to get ahead, not to want to achieve things. But it tells you to wait upon the Lord, to walk in the path the Lord leads you, to pray to the Lord and submit your life to the Lord. And it's this meekness of submitting your life to the Lord and following His lead, as opposed to what the world tells you to do, is to push and to shove and to claw your way forward. Instead, you're to follow the path that the Lord has opened before you. You're to step forward and move forward and move up, but in the way that the Lord has opened to you. And the next is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now, this righteousness is spoken about, quite a bit in the New Testament and Old Testament. And here Jesus Christ is really talking about the Old Testament righteousness. Jesus is still alive. He has not yet died and covered our sins through His righteousness, through His imputed righteousness. And Paul talks a great deal about the righteousness of God. We heard some of that in Corinthians. What this righteousness is
our willingness to obey God's law, to obey His word. Now, we're not saved by our acts. We're not saved by our good deeds. We're not saved by our work. That's through the righteousness that comes through the blood covering our sins of Jesus, from Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is telling here is that when we walk with God, when we do what we know God wants us to do, when we think like we know God wants us to think, when we speak like we know God wants us to speak, that we receive the blessings of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Christian love is unlike any other love that we find in the world. Christian love is unconditional. I have had times with my children and even my grandchildren and even with other family members when there are times when they have done bad things. They've disappointed. They've hurt. They have failed to live up to what they were taught. They have gone against authority. They have not lived as they were raised, and they were not living according to the will of God. So what do? You don't pretend that they have done nothing wrong. You don't try to make right every bad thing that they have done. But it is very important for me to convey to them that I love them, and I love them unconditionally. And nothing will ever take them away from my love for them. That there is nothing they can do that is so bad that I will not love them. There is nothing they can do to separate us. And then you strangle them. Our Lord loves us in just that way. And Jesus is saying to us that we are to have mercy. And he's not saying that we are to have mercy when it's easy. We're not having mercy when they are asking for forgiveness. He's not saying that we are to have mercy when it is convenient for us or when others are looking. We are to have mercy even when it hurts, even when it's painful. That's when we live out our Christianity. That's when we show that we are one with Christ. Thank God that Jesus doesn't just have mercy for those who are deserving, or I would be left out in the cold. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we look here on our 23rd Psalm, here, blessed are the pure of heart, that they shall see God. Only those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus will be acceptable to be entered. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me by the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He restoreth my soul. G-
Jesus is the only one who could give you a pure heart. There is no hope for a pure heart except through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Don't you know people who, whenever they see that there's some little rift growing between two of their friends or their family members or their associates, seem to want to get in there and stir it up? They see, there's always these people who, whenever there's something going on, they want to see if they can get it up into a little bit more action. It's exciting. They may do it out of fun, but it causes a great deal of harm. Here is blessed are the peacemakers. When we sense that there is some tension between people that we love, between people that we encounter, there is a time for us to make peace. Often I have found that just even being in a group of strangers and you find that one of them bumps into the other and makes them spill their drink or do something, and there's some tension going on, that a light joke, a light comment can ease the tension. Sometimes a Bible quote can reduce the tension in the room. Sometimes just a acknowledgement that happens to me sometimes can reduce the tension in the room. You are called to be the peacemakers in this world. As much as it is within your ability, you are called to reduce the tension. To notch down the stress a level. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't say, blessed are the antagonist. Blessed are the catalysts. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have the ability to shine the light of Christ on tense situations. And the last three verses are very similar to each other. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus began his ministry, he began his ministry in a world full of hypocrisy. He had the Pharisees walking around in their robes with all the adornments. He had the Pharisees walking around and out in public square saying Bible verses from the Pentateuch, and just repeating the Bible verses from the first five books of the Bible. And when they gave their money, they had horns blown if they were wealthy, and they would present their money, and they would make a big scene of their gifts that they were giving to the synagogue. And yet, they were not forgiving. They were not loving. They were not caring. Jesus said that these people are pretending to be righteous, and yet they're not righteous. And there are many who attend church every Sunday and give to charity and do good works, but don't have the righteousness in their hearts. There are many people out in the community, out in the world, who are pretending to be good. And yet, they don't feel the love. They don't feel the charity. They want the adoration. They want the recognition, They want the acknowledgement, they want the status, but they're not acting out of love. And Jesus is saying that those who do act out of love, that is to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love one another as you love yourself, that act of righteousness, it says, and you will see the kingdom of heaven. You and I may never face a physical persecution. You and I may never face a time when someone holds a gun or a knife to us and says, renounce Jesus Christ, or you will die. But it is happening in our world today. It is happening in our world every day. We live in a world that is opposed to God. We're not in the majority. We're not in the majority even in the United States, that is Christians. People who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not Christians as a identification, but Christians as a relationship with Christ. Jesus said that when you are persecuted in my name, so how is it that we must stand up for God? When someone talks to you about a movie that they saw, and they start to describe a quite graphic scene that is something you know you shouldn't see, how hard is it to tell them, I'd rather not hear that? That makes me uncomfortable. Please don't talk about that. When someone starts to tell you a joke that has things in it that you know that you should not hear, how hard is it for you to say, I really don't want to hear that? Or how hard is it to just turn around and walk away? It can be very difficult. We live in a world where people talk and use language that just a few years back would have been scandalous, and they use it in their everyday language. We go to people's houses and they'll turn things on television that we know we should not see. What do you do? This is a form of persecution, exposing you deliberately to things that you know is not right with Jesus Christ. And we need to respond to it. And we need to respond to it positively, and we need to respond to it actively. We need to give our testimony, and to either through our words or our actions or both, and we need to stand up. Because otherwise, we miss the blessing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're never persecuted if you go along. You're never persecuted for go along, get along. You're never persecuted for keeping silent, for standing still. It's only when you speak up, walk away, or confront that you will be persecuted. And in this world today, it is very, very important that people understand that we live in a world that belongs to Jesus Christ, that we seek a kingdom with Jesus Christ. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to take the Beatitudes to heart, to live the Beatitudes, to seek the blessings of God, and to seek the will of God. Amen.